speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
If you will, take your Bible and turn to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel, of course, is a prophet of God. He is one who is qualified to do things in God's service that others are not qualified to do. Daniel, of course, is one who has shown the difference between Jehovah and idols, between God's people and the world, and he is one who has predicted the coming kingdom for the first time in Daniel 2. In Daniel 3, if you will turn to that part, Nebuchadnezzar, it says in verse 1, the king made an image of gold. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together all of the satraps and the deputies and the governors and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and the rulers of the province, which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the satraps, deputies, governors, judges, treasurers, counselors, and sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then Herod cried and said aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, languages, that at what time you hear the cornet, the flute, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up." Then we skip down to verse 18 of this same chapter, and we notice here that there are some who are not going to do that. And the king has called them in for a second opinion. But at any rate, they said, "But if it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now here is a big, outstanding word that these men have spoken. You know what that word is? No. And you know, that little bitty word is one of the biggest words in the English language. The word no. Have you spoken it? Can you say that? I know a lot of people who find it very difficult to say that word, no. But it is an important word. And here, these men fluently spoke it when they were commanded to bow down before a golden image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had made. You know, this is one of the smallest and least, and yet one of the hardest words, I suppose, for people to say. Not too long back, there was a drug program in our nation, and they put out the sign, "Just say no." But you know, there weren't many young people who did that. And when it comes to marriage, divorce and remarriage, we know that divorce is wrong, except for the cause of fornication. But there are a lot of adults who have trouble saying the word no. But you know, we need to say no to more things than just drugs and divorce, don't we? We need to say no to many, many things that really would make our lives better. When some writers were asked what the two most used words were and misused words, they said yes is the most misused word and no is the most useful word in the English language. I know one thing. No is the soul's pronouncement of independence, and saying yes to the wrong people, to the wrong crowd, to the peer pressure that comes our way, brings many, many problems and heartaches to our lives. The one who, though, can fluently speak the word no, you ought to practice that word, really. Say it over and over and over. Look in the mirror and say it. There are a lot of people who just cannot say no when someone asks them to do something, even if it's wrong. Well, that word would cause us to be the master of ourselves if we could say it. That word would acknowledge that we're not a slave. We can say no. We know how to say that little word, and I'll say this to you, no one ever amounts to much who doesn't learn how to say that word. The word no, then, though small, though very small in its nature, it's a big word, isn't it? And it's an important word, and this one who's able to say it, he lives his own life, he determines his own plans for life, and his own course, his own program, his own resolutions, and he is a free man. The man who cannot say no is not free at all. This man who cannot say no is a puppet on a string. But the man who can say no is not a puppet on a string. In Acts 5:29, when the apostles were all put in prison and they charged them not to preach any more in the name of Jesus, Let's see whether or not they were puppets on string. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. No. What they're saying is, no, we're not going to obey your command. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to continue to preach it fluently. We're going to continue to make it our desire in life. You know, the same examples of principles that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are going to deal with in Daniel 3 are dealt with here by the Apostle Peter. No, we're not going to fail to preach the gospel. We're going to preach it. But no is a word, of course, that at times has caused blessings and it's also caused a curse. It has caused nations to rise and nations to fall. And it is that that makes or breaks a character. It brings, of course, happiness or sorrow to our lives. Yes, it's a little word. But boy, it is so big in the consequences that big people are the only ones who can say it. Big people are the ones who can recognize its importance and use it. And let me say to you again, as you've heard before, the grass is not always greener on the other side of the fence. And the word no sometimes is not an easy word to say because we're greatly tempted. But it is the best thing to say. The biggest man in the world that is the world has ever known, he could certainly use it. His name was Jesus the Christ. And when Satan tempted him in Matthew 4, first of all, he was very hungry because he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The devil said, if you be the Son of God, why don't you eat and make those stones to become bread? Well, of course, he said that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What was his answer to the devil? No. When he took him up into the pinnacle of the temple, and there he said, cast thyself down, for it is written. Here's the devil using the Bible. It is written, he will not suffer his Holy One to be hurt, and he'll lift you up. Jesus said, no, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Well, Satan said, why don't you just bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Well, that's quite a temptation. But Jesus said, no. He said, man shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So we understand from Hebrews 4:15 that we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who in all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Many have been the personal tragedies of those who are unable to say no in times of weakness and recklessness because they fail to say no to evil influence. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. This is Galatians 6. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he said, be not deceived. Evil companionship will corrupt good morals. So we really need to say no, don't we? We need to learn when to say yes. We need to learn when to say no. Because no is a citadel of personal strength. Just as long as men and women can say it and mean it. In other words, a citadel is a stronghold. It is a place of refuge. It is a place of protection. And it is that which causes us to be free. But this is exemplified in many places in the Bible, especially in Judges 16, in the life of one called Samson. You remember Samson was given extraordinary strength by God, but he was also told, don't ever let anyone cut your hair, because that's where your strength is. Well, God could have put his strength anywhere he wanted it, but it was in his hair. And so you remember that he did something that he shouldn't have done. He turned into a woman who was a spy for the Philistines. And you recall this Herculean man, he had to say no several times. No. And, of course, his strength remained with him as long as he said no. But then she kept on after him. Where's your strength? Tell me how your strength is there. And he said, well, you know my strength would go away if you tie new bowstrings around me. So she did. She called the Philistines on him. He got up and broke those and took care of the enemies. Then, second of all, she kept on after him day by day by day, until finally she wore him down. He said, well, if you put new ropes on me, my strength wouldn't be there. But you know what? He wasn't telling her where his strength was. He said, if you'll weave 7 locks, then my strength won't be there. She said to him, you don't love me, or you would tell me where your strength is. Have you ever heard that thought before, that line? You don't love me, or you would do this when that which you're asked to do is wrong. Young people, you really need to say no to these kind of tempters. You know, this was exactly what was said to Samson. You don't love me. So finally, after she wore him down, He said, if you shave my head, my strength will be gone. And she pressed him, the Bible says, daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all of his heart and the secret of his strength. Today there are many Samsons, there are many giants in the world who have used the word fluently. No, their head and shoulders are above the running mill of people in the world. And yet, my friends, the only thing that can share them of that strength is saying yes to things that correctly demand a no. Let your character be strong and learn to say no to the things that are not right in life. If you say yes to those things, then it will cause you to have great difficulties and great sorrow in your life. No has protected more women than all the knights of chivalry, and it has protected all men more than all of the armor of the world. No is a great word. It's the latch that bolts the gate of self-respect, isn't it? And it is that gate bolt that stands, if it is opened, to cause us great difficulty. The only time that will be open is when one is weakened, when one is loose in his ways and does not respect himself enough to say no. You know, Adam and Eve were that way. When Eve heard the devil say, oh, you'll not surely die, she said yes to something she should have said no to. And she brought pain and sickness and death that we're still suffering in this old world of ours. And so it is said in Genesis 3:10, he said, I heard the voice when God was walking in the garden and he hid. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And God said, who told you you were naked? He knew they'd sinned. And you know, sin brought this reproach upon them. Here he is conscious of his sins. He thinks he can hide from God. Psalms 139 says he can't hide from God. If he goes up into heaven, if he goes into the depth of the sea, wherever he goes, God's there. You can't hide from God. But what caused him to think he could hide from God? Well, he was ashamed. And he hid himself. He lost his self-respect. Because he said yes instead of no. You know, we have to say no to at least three things. James tells us, or 1 John 2 tells us in verses 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of the Father, but they are of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father shall abide forever. So no has blocked and barricaded so many things in the path of millions of young people. It's blocked them from staggering into the use of drugs. It has blocked them from the path of staggering into the use of drunkenness and debauchery and disease. In Proverbs 23 and verse 29, they ask themselves these questions that the wise man asked. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings and wounds without cause? Who hath the redness of the eyes? And then they say, they that tarry at the wine. And so, Proverbs 23:32, they learned that at last it biteth like the adder, and like a serpent it stingeth. And they say, I don't want to be bitten, and I don't want to be stung, and I don't want to die because of this folly of mine. And in Proverbs 1:10, we find the good advice given. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent not. What does he mean? He means say no. Say no. Can you say that word? You better practice it because you're going to need it a lot in life. No is a word that is very small but very, very significant. You remember Cain? Cain, he failed to say no to the desire to serve God according to his own thinking. There are many people who have followed in his steps. But you know that Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than did Cain. And he had witness borne to him that he was righteous, God testifying unto his gifts, and he being dead, it still speaks. He's talking about his faith. In other words, Abel offered according to what God commanded. He did it by faith. But Cain didn't. And the result, of course, of a lack of faith now in worship also makes a failure. God is one who must be worshipped in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith you can't please him. And then again in Matthew 15:9, those who attempt to do so, he said, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for their doctrines the commandments of men. No, it won't work, my friends. It results in religious division. It results in corrupted worship. It results in that which will bring man to destruction. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is by His authority, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together, all the same mind and all the same judgment. In John 17, Jesus said in verse 20 and 21, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, that you'll believe on me through their word, that they may be one, Father, as thou art in me and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. You know, it's important to know that word know, isn't it? Joseph, who was sold into bondage by his envious brothers, he, of course, said no to the temptations of the flesh in Genesis 39. You recall that he was put in Potiphar's house as a slave. And therefore, as this slave, he had to say no in order to protect the home of his master Potiphar. Now, Potiphar had put him over everything that he had. There was no questions about it. But Potiphar's wife saw the handsomeness of this young man, and she wanted him to lay with her. It is no that stopped him from doing those things that were wrong. What a temptation, though, this young man had. This was as strong a temptation as anybody's ever had. But the urge to natural appetite was there. There's no doubt about that. And that made the temptation strong. And perhaps he might have said, well, you know what? If I want to advance in this old world, I'm going to have to do some things that I know are wrong. There are a lot of people who don't say no to that, do they? But here we find Joseph did, because principle and not policy were his ways of living. No, he didn't think of what policy was, but he knew what principle was, and that maintained his loyalty to his master as well as to God. And so it should be with us. You know, it was this slave's no that protected that home from his master. It was a drawn sword that does that for our home today. When you say no, it's going to stop the interruption of a home situation. And remember, Joseph was as handsome as any man you've ever known. He was young. He was indeed talented. He was sold there by his envious brothers, and he could have said, you know, really, who's going to know? Who's going to know? And then again, well, I think I'm in such a situation that, you know, I've been mistreated, and it really ought to give me the right to do wrong. I know of some people who refuse to say no because they think their parents didn't treat them right when they were young. You're grown, aren't you? You know what's right and what's wrong, don't you? Practice saying that word no a few hundred times, will you? You better do so, or it's going to cause you great difficulty. You know, the personage of this temptation was Potiphar's own wife. It says that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. She tempted him day after day. He could have thought it would bring rank and beauty and honor to him, but he didn't. And you know, Joseph, the slave in a foreign land, he could have said, well, why should I worry about Hebrew scruples? I'm not there anymore. But he knew God saw it all. And the thought of God tells Joseph truth. He said, how can I do this great evil against God? There's principle, not policy, that dictates and maintains his loyalty. You know, the worldly tradition of this woman perhaps said, now God cannot see. God doesn't see. And so because of that, I want to have Joseph. Well, when Joseph refuses her advances, of course, he flees out, leaving his garment. And she shows the garment and says, he didn't treat me right. So here's a wounded pride. Boy, does that cause a lot of trouble. And falsely accusing. That's what happened here with Joseph. And you know what happened to him as a result of his saying no? Well, he was cast into prison. Now, you may not always think what is happening to you after you say no is good. But it will be good. He's just too big for defeat, wasn't he? And what a great man he was. But with God's help and his unusual qualities, he was raised soon to honor and to glory. He was put up in the kingdom, later exalted. But what was the turning point? The word no. That was the turning point, wasn't it? That's what put him in prison. That's what later brought him, because of principle, to be upright in the sight of God. Well, I must hasten along. Daniel, boy, did he speak that word fluently. You know, don't you, that the decrees of the king said, you can't pray to God for 30 days. The only one you can ask for anything is the king. Well, this was arranged by those who Daniel had protected their life. You know, that they were going to lose their life because they couldn't tell the secret dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And so he said, if you don't tell me the dream and the interpretation thereof, I'll just cut you in pieces and make your houses a dunghill. Daniel saved their life. And this was the gratitude he got. They wanted to find some way they could get under Daniel's skin. And so they said, you know, there's just no way except his religion. And so they saw that he prayed three times a day, and they said, we'll get him on that. They went and made the king, or had the king, make a decree, no prayer for 30 days. Or if you do, you'll be put in the lion's den. Daniel went home, opened his windows toward Jerusalem, prayed just like he always did. What is he saying to his enemies? No, you're not going to stop me. What is he saying to the king? No, you're not going to stop me. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know his friends, they also said no to worshiping his image. Daniel 3, he made an image that was 60 feet tall, 6 feet wide. Can you imagine such an image? And some say that it was shaped in his own likeness. I don't know whether it was or not. But he thought it was something for his glory. And so when they refused to worship that image, he in his fury called them back to him and said, look, maybe you didn't hear me right. Either you worship that image like I told you, I'm giving you a second chance, or I'm going to put you in the furnace of fire. And that's what I read to you this morning from chapter 3. They said, no. If God wants to deliver us, He will. But if He doesn't, just know this, O king, we're not going to bow down and worship your image. And so their reply was, you'll have to put us in the furnace because we're not going to do wrong. You know what he did? He bound them or had men bind them. He put them into that furnace and he heated it up 7 times hotter. And the men who threw them in there died. But they didn't. And when they came out, there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. You know, when we do God's will, we, like Paul, can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. I wish I had time to talk more about Vashti. You know, she said no to the insulting immodesty that her husband wanted her to do. He's given a 180-day birthday party for himself. And he was drinking from the golden vessels, and he was showing the riches of his kingdom and the glories of his kingdom, and he called in his drunkenness for his wife to come and dance before them. She wouldn't do it. She said no. And you know, it took unusual courage to say no because these pagan practices were demanding and the customs were too. But she said no. And although she lost being a queen, she was still right and upright in the sight of God. And we have to commend her for it. Well, last of all, Christ, of course, as we mentioned a moment ago, He is our perfect example. He is our Savior. He is indeed our teacher. And He said 3 times in the wilderness, when he was tempted of Satan in Matthew 4, no. No, 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 Satan. In the Garden of Gethsemane, oh, what temptation it was there to say, I'm not going to go through this. Look, this is too heavy. This cross is heavy. And I'm going to have to suffer a lot. They're going to beat me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to nail my hands and my feet to that cross. And I'm going to die there. He prayed to his father, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass away. And God said, no. And Jesus said, thy will be done. It's not easy to say no. It wasn't easy, no doubt, for God to say no to His Son. Would you have said it for your Son? Would you have said, no, you're going to have to suffer. These people that have hated you all this time now, you're going to have to suffer in order that they can be saved. And on the cross, you know, the thieves threw it in His face. They said, won't you save yourself and save us if you be the Son of God? And He said, no. No, I can't do that. And redeem the world. And at the close of that, He said, it is finished. I hope that you are fluent in that little word, no, because it's so important to you in life. And you know, we have to be able to stand against that which is wrong and stand for that which is right. So we need to learn to say no to Satan. And we need to learn to say yes to the Lord. You know, Romans 6:16 says, "Know you not, or don't you know that whom you present yourself as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked, that whereas you were the servants of sin, you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine delivered unto you, and being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." And you can do that. But you have to learn to say no. Say no to Satan, say yes to the Lord. That's the way you do it. In Revelation 22:14, he said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." That takes a no to Satan, a yes to God. And this morning, if you've heard his word and you believe it with all of your heart, you can do that. You can acknowledge your belief in him by your repentance, by your confession of his name, and we'll baptize you into Christ this morning, just as the New Testament declares we must do for salvation. And if you're willing to do that, certainly we invite you to come. If you've been a Christian and yet you fail to say no to Satan, you've been saying yes to him all along. Although you pretend to be on the Lord's side, you're really on Satan's side. You need to repent of that this morning. You need to come back. Pray God that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. If you're in any way subject, will you come now while together we stand and while we...